Good morning. Sorry, you're stuck with me. Clark couldn't find anybody else to fill in for him, so I'm back. Today we're going to continue on in the first chapter of Philippians, and I think we're going to pick up about verse 21. This topic, as I studied this lesson, I realized that it's not very far from all of our hearts. We all face dilemmas. We all face hard times. We all face decisions. And today I want to kind of go along with the writer of the book as we go through these verses, because he brings out some very valid points that, you know, I'm guilty of a lot of times. I try to handle everything myself. I'm a man. I can take care of this. No, a lot of times I brought to my knees to find out that if I would just ask God first, it would be a whole lot simpler. Case in point, a year or so ago, I was trying to hang crown molding. I'm not very good at hanging crown molding. But I got a couple of pieces up, and I thought I was just Mr. Fix-It. I was the man. And I got into a corner, and I could not get it. It brought me near to saying cuss words, but I thought them, so therefore I sinned anyways. And I said to myself, God, please, I've got to go to work. It's just one corner. Please help it to fit. Lo and behold, I walked right up there, and it went right into place. And I said, Father, I'm sorry. I should have asked you first before I got mad. I should have asked you first when I went into this. And that was the thought that it left me with. So as I'm studying this to prepare for this this class this morning, it's kind of what it brought back to me is the things that we try to do on our own. Guys, we can't accomplish anything without God in our lives. Now, there are people out there that are successful. They think they are. You're right, James. Because there are so many things that people put priority on. Going to heaven should be the number one priority. Having your life right with God should be the number one priority. Being content in your life, knowing that there is a much greater reward than anything that we can attain here on this earth, should be our highest priority. Putting God first. So let's get started with the lesson. We'll pick up in verse 21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. You know, one of the things that starts out here is Paul's facing a dilemma. He's worked hard. He has labored hard for God. He's reached that point where he said, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to have that reward. Now, I know I'm kind of a middle-aged, I guess, guy. I'm some of the older Christians, you know, when I was younger, when I was a younger Christian, they would talk about they was ready to go home. And I was like, well, I want to go home, but not today. You know, I have not reached that point, you know, especially as a new Christian, you know, we still have some worldly ties. at the point that I am now, I'm okay with going home. But I got these two little grandbabies and these worldly things that hold me back and things. So I'm human, and there's the unknown aspect of heaven. But I remember Raymond and Obed and all these guys, and we're all going to reach that point, is what I'm trying to say. The harder you strive to be a Christian, the more reward you see that it's going to be, and we will relinquish those things, and we'll be ready to go home. And Paul was at that point. So what I'm telling you is if you're sort of like me, you're at that point like, I want to go to heaven, but I'm still afraid. I'm scared of the unknown. I'm scared of leaving behind. And there's a selfishness that we have, like, I got these little babies, and I want to see them grow, and this and that. But don't feel bad, because that's human, and we are human. And it's something that we have to get past. And Paul is past this. He is to the point that, you know, he's at this dilemma. He said, do I stay or do I go? Well, for him, he says that I don't know what to choose because both are great. So his dilemma was a right situation. It was good for both. You know, if he stays, he was going to continue to do God's work. He was going to continue to reach those. He'd been studying with these guards. So if he goes, well, who's going to study with them? Who's going to help them along the way? He'd been writing these letters. Where would we be if he decided to go on before he finished all these letters? We wouldn't have some of the books of the Bible. His work wasn't done. And he later comes to understand that it's more necessary that he stay. So when he says verse 23, he says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. We all know that that's a better place to be. Even I know, loving those grandbabies and loving my wife and my family and the earthly ties that I have here, I still know that it's better to be with Christ. As a Christian, we have to know that. And he's in his opinion is spot on, he says it is better to be by far to be with Christ. But it's more necessary that he stay. It's necessary for God's will, not Paul's will, that he stay. So, you know, he was in this dilemma. He was worn out. You know, we've had members that have been diagnosed with very serious illnesses, and there are treatments that can help these illnesses. But yet, sometimes they're just like, you know, I fought the fight. I've run the race. I don't want to put myself through that. And those of us that love them, you know, it may be a family member, it may be a church member, we're like, no, please fight. You know, we don't want you to go. So those are dilemmas that we face. Yes, sir.
I can give you an example of that. My mother, she was 81 years old, and she said God allowed her to live all this time. Now, my mother bled for many years. They used to take her to the hospital and give her blood 3 to 6 months. But anyway, like I told her, it was a lady who walked this earth for 12 years bled herself, you know, because touched God's arm and got healed. But anyway, if she would have took dialysis, then she still could have been living to this day. But she said she's tired. God allowed her to live 81 years old with no pain, no sorrow. So I made it home. So that's what she did. So that's, you know, I can understand what you're saying about that.
See, we are all going to be faced with things like that in our family. We're all touched by situations like that. And we don't know. Maybe someday that'll be our choice. Maybe that will be, you know, I've seen people go through treatments and it seemed like it was worse than the disease.
Some people quite suffer through them treatments.
And sometimes the treatments don't benefit as they hoped that they would. And sometimes people have died through the treatments. So that's just one of those decisions that an individual is faced with. And that's just one of the dilemmas that we get. And the writer used the proverbial between a rock and a hard place. Then, you know, Paul was between a good place and a good place in his decision because it was good to stay or is even better to go. But, you know, these are just the type of dilemmas that we're faced with. One of the dilemmas to talk about was vocational dilemmas. And he uses the example of a job in a new state. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. You know, I went to 14 different schools before I graduated. And we were moving. It seemed like, you know, you get unpacked. And you've seen the commercial where the people are moving in, and it's some kind of insurance commercial. And they just finally get unpacked, and the phone rings and says, oh, we're being transferred, and they're moving out. I can relate to that because we would get unpacked. One place we lived 3 months. I just got my room situated, and Dad come in and said, okay, we're moving from Wisconsin to Missouri. Just load it all back up and go, you know. So these are things. You leave family behind sometimes. We used to joke the last 3 or 4 moves that he made, he left a kid at each. Like, we left my older sister in Missouri. When we left Arkansas, we left my next sister. When we got to Kentucky, he'd moved around. Finally, I told him, my brother went into the Air Force, so he was in Germany. But he was moving around here so much, I said, you know what, I'm just going to get my own place instead of keep some roots down. Lisa'd like to have a new house sometime. I said, uh-uh. I said, I've lived here for 20-something years. I said, it's great. I got roots in this place because I'd never had roots anywhere. But you leave, you know, when these dilemmas, you leave family. You leave friends, you know, to try to do better for your family, to try to, you know, move up in financial status too. And I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, a person could maybe have a, you know, we just went through a time where a lot of people lost a lot of securities. They lost a lot of jobs. Things went down. Some people were in high-paying jobs. Those places closed. They had to take lower jobs. But then something maybe comes available in another state over. Okay, I can kind of get back on my feet again. These are a dilemma. Do I get back on my feet? Did God open this door for me to go do this? You know, how do we handle these situations? Prayer. Just like I said at the beginning. And I'm trying to learn when I take on these little projects, say a little prayer first. You know, Father, I know I can do this, but whatever I face, let you and I get it together and you show me the way. Instead of me showing him the way, let him show me the way. And I haven't had too many projects lately. I haven't undertaken too many of them, but it seems like that helps better. It gives me confidence to know that I'm not going it alone. But prayer, when you're making a decision about, you know, whether to take a new job, people that are, you know, college is about to start. Riley going to be going to college pretty soon. You know, these are things that they need to pray about. You know, it's a big world. It's a change. You know, mom and dad's been there 24/7. Yeah, I'm going out on my own. And as soon as that door shuts, when they leave you at college and that door shuts, and you're like, all right, yeah. Well, then when it gets dark, it's like, I'm homesick. You know, where's my peanut butter and sandwiches and this and that? You know, there's nothing in my refrigerator. You know, it's all about growing up. So, you know, prayer is so important in going through those dilemmas. These heart-to-heart dilemmas. You know, I'm sorry, but today, people, they don't pray before they get married. I don't think they study before they get married. I think people just jump into it. You know, that's something that you really need to think about. Am I ready to get married? Is it the right time in my life to get married? Marriage is one of the most greatest things you can ever enjoy. God blessed us with marriage. He gave us marriage. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that marriage is bad for someone that's still going to school and still trying to work a job. You can still do it, but it's going to be difficult. You need to pray about it. You need to face it. That it's not all what you see on TV. Not everything ends like Nicholas Sparks movies. Some are bad, some are good. You know, those tearjerkers. But you've got to pray about it. You've got to let God be in that decision. And this is what Paul was saying. He said, I'm going to let God decide. He said he was convinced in verse 25 that he would be remaining. And I will continue to do what I'm supposed to do. He wasn't pouting about it. He wasn't mad that he didn't get to go home. He said, I get to do the second love of my life. I get to work for the man that is the first love of my life that I want to go be with. So he was in a win-win situation. But knowing she's there is great.
It's a growing experience, like moving, you move. Well, the early Christians, due to persecution, they spread out. That's how the gospel was spread. It was not only through the apostles, but it was through Christians that was being persecuted. So there's positives that comes from every aspect of life. God loves you. All things work for good for those that's called to His purpose. So, you know, look at the lives that you touched when you went from place to place. And knowing you like I do, I know that the good was overrode all the bad.
They probably forgot me, Donnie, I'll be honest.
But what I'm telling you is, it works for good. You learn. It's a learning experience. Life is full of learning experiences. Dilemma.
We learn every day. The point is whether we choose to acknowledge the new growth or just, like we do most often, we just sort of ignore things and then, oh, yeah, we look over it. We don't take time to smell the roses. We don't take time to absorb things in. Now, I said, I was telling some of them that we've been doing a little remodeling at the house, and we had some things, we had to have some new windows, and so we decided why everything was out of there. Lisa said, you know, I want to paint this, I want to do this and that. Well, every day I've been coming home to see, you know, okay, it's hard to choose a couple of paint colors, especially with the idea she has in her mind, and you can't color code what's in your mind, you know, it has to try to pick that out. And so we'd have different samples and things, and it was almost looking, starting to look camouflage in there. And I said, well, this is an idea to go with. But she finally settled on two colors and went with it. And so last night I couldn't wait to get home. Well, when I got home, it's too dark in there because we have these hanging down lights. So the ceiling is a color and so are the walls. So I couldn't get a full grasp of it. So this morning when time to get up, the first thing I did was go in there to see it in the sunlight. And it was coming together, and I loved the walls and the ceiling. I'm like, yeah, that, you know, I go over to one corner and I'm like, yeah, I can see how it's going to tie in. So, you know, I wanted to go and look at these things. She could have painted without my knowledge, and it might have took me 2 weeks to know that she'd paint. And if I didn't smell the paint, I'd walk in and say, oh, when did you paint this? You know, because we stay so in tune with what's going on that sometimes we don't notice things. God blesses us to grow each and every day. It's up to us to notice it. It's up to us to learn from it and to grow from it. And I think he's given these examples to the Christians here that he's writing to. He's because this is what he would like to do. But, you know, they're going through some struggles. He says, verse 26, he's talking about them. In verse 25, you know, he's talking about having to stay with them and to continue to help them grow so that through his being with them, verse 26, being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. You know, his joy is still, he's full of joy even staying. He's excited to stay because he knows he's got work to do for the person that he loves. He's got work to do for Christ. So he wants them to, even though they're in some struggles, he wants them to love what they're doing. He wants them to be happy about the struggle, because the struggle is for who? And you're also struggling for God. You're struggling to do the right thing. That's a good thing. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. What he's saying here is, if you do the right thing, if you put God first, you don't really need me. You're going to have that excitement. you're going to have that joy. You're going to have that growth. You're going to be able to overcome that struggle. We have several of our members that are away. Both of our elders are gone today. But we're able to come together. We're able to continue on with what God would have us to do because of what? Our love for one another and our love for Christ. Now, there's some places when you take some of your leaders out of the equation, they fall apart. Because those that are being led, they don't know how to go without someone right there to follow, if you can understand. Sheep, they go astray without the shepherd. A church can go astray without the leaders or the elders. But a strong church can continue on. And that's what Paul is saying. If you work together, and if you strive for God, and you put God first, and you love God, then when the leaders are gone for a short period of time, it won't be a big mess. You won't struggle. You know, you won't have people creep in and bring in the bad things. He said that without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. You don't have to be fearful of that. And it says, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed because the devil can't come in and take over where God is present. If God is present in this room, and God's will is being done in this room, the devil don't stand a chance.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against
you. Exactly. That is exactly true. And that's what we sometimes forget about in our own personal lives. We think, you know, bless Matt's heart. He's got this house out there. Well, come to find out he's heating and air went out. He's got to have new. Well, when they went in there, well, they found out why the heating and air is because he's got a lot of moisture out in Jeffersonville. There's a lot of moisture in grounds and stuff, which I didn't realize. But he's got so much moisture under his house. They said you need to, they told him, they gave him a name of a place. He said it's called the Crawl Space Doctor. That they can go in and what they do and that you'll never have this problem again. But it costs almost as much as the new heating and air. And it's a struggle. And he said, you know, I just feel like it's just all pouring down on me. But you just have to have faith. We're all going to face those. We can't crumble underneath that. We have to say, okay, I'm going to face this head on. I'm going to accept that this, but this isn't going to define my life. I'm going to be able to come through this. I'm going to be able to get through this. And getting through those things, that's what's going to define your life. Being able to persevere through the hard times. Being able to overcome the struggles. We can't do it alone. When we come together here, we're together. We're with the saints. We're one unit. Or we're one body. We're several units, but we're one body. Just like the body that we each have. We have different parts that do different things, but they all are one. And that's the same with the church. We're following God. And we're all different entities that are trying to do the work. But we're all one goal. We all have one main place, destination that we're trying to get to. And we're striving for that. And he says that when you do this, when you overcome things and you don't let sin prevail, you don't let sin come in and destroy you, you don't let anyone come in and disperse you or teach false doctrine or do anything like that, he said, you are giving them a sign that they will be destroyed and you will be saved. And that sign, that is by God. God shows that. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also, and this is something right here that we all kind of take for granted. That next word is also to suffer for him. Sometimes we neglect to think that we might suffer. We have lived in an age of time where the church hasn't been persecuted too much. You know, back in the early time, they were persecuted for a lot of things. But we're under fire, I think, right now. I think that a lot of beliefs that are being passed by legislature, by the Supreme Court, and a lot of things, I think is a direct attack upon God's will. And I think as Christians, we at least need to have our voice heard. I think we at least need to say, this is not right. This is not what the Bible preaches. And we go, but we have rights. We should have the right to worship. We have the right to have our beliefs. But these other things are crammed down our throats. And if we don't agree with you, then we are bad. We are wrong. But I think that's something that the early church faced. And I think that's something that the church today quite possibly could be facing. And that's just my opinion on it. But I believe that God may be seeing just how strong we are if we're willing to stand up for His will or not. We've had it pretty easy for a long time.
Man changes everything.
Man changes, but God doesn't. No. He doesn't change His mind.
If that's what the problem is today, is that the devil's flying around here and he's working really good. And he's changing all these people and they're just changing their lives to God, just like the pledge of allegiance to the flag that we used to have in schools all the time.
Right. Right.
He's very mad and he's upset about all this stuff that's going on in the world. That's why people don't understand why the water's drying up, why California's going to fall off in the ocean. Tsunamis come and all this stuff is going on. Because they're not doing what the Word of God says. And every word that you want to know of the Word of God is in the Bible. Just people doesn't have the tendency to follow it.
And what they want to tell us today is that book is outdated. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not outdated if it's what you're going to be judged by. And it's all we've been told is that this is the book that we will be judged by. They didn't say there was another book. But, of course, I'm getting off on a rant on something that's totally different than that. But that's the point that he's trying to make here, is if you will stand firm, those outsiders, those people that are wrong, they will be destroyed. You will be saved. He says, you're going through the same struggle that you've seen me go through. You know, he was having people that they were, last week's discussion, they were kind of mad at Paul. So they were teaching things, but they were teaching Christ, but they were doing it with not so honest heart, not so much love in their heart. He said, doesn't matter. They're still preaching Christ. And that's what's the important thing. So they couldn't even get under his skin. They couldn't make him mad. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be focused on God and to be more God-like. So, you know, to go or stay, you know, are you there yet? Are you able to say, you know, to live as Christ, to die as gain? I hope we all get there. But I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, I'm there. I'm closer than I was 15 years ago. I'm a lot closer to it, but I'm not 100% because there's still some fear in me. There's still some scared, you know, I don't know what that's like, you know.
We can't see face that veil.
That's right.
Woman as you die, you know, woman as you die, you're going to see past that veil. You're going to be like Paul. Paul was able to see into the third heaven. That's why his doing was quite much greater than ours. He already seen what was there.
Right.
He knew where he was going to. Here, we don't see all that, so we're sitting here, like you said, you got your kids, your grandkids, you got all your family ties, and a lot of times, it's like you've been talking. Caught up in all those ties, and we're not ready to go yet because we don't know what's on the other side. I mean, we can read and get a glimpse through studying God's Word and praying to God and studying. We don't know what's on the other side for us.
It's the unknown, is basic.
The unknown. That's what made Paul, tell him even more worse. So he said in another letter or somewhere in one of his books, he's seen into the third heaven. So he made it much more, I think it'd make it bigger to him. He already knew where he was going.
Right.
We're sitting here thinking, well, we'd like to go to heaven. Like, been talking the whole time. You know, that's. But I'm like you, I'm not ready yet. But that's where I'd like to go. And I'm sure everybody else is the same way. That's just our human nature. Because we can't see past. Because if we can see past that, we'd probably be like, I'm done. Let's
yeah.
Go on.
I know. That's it.
I don't want to work for you, God, no more. I want to be with you.
Yeah.
Get somebody else to it.
But see, it's not up to us.
It's, yeah. And that's what the point was with Paul, and he understood that. It was his will that he could go be with God, but it was God's will that he stay and that he wasn't finished. And that's the point that we need to remember. God's will be done. Keep working. Keep struggling. Keep fighting, doing His will until that day in which you're called home, which you get to go to that great reward. Let's look at those questions real quick. Maybe we can get through them. I think number one, it says, describe some dilemmas you have faced and the steps you took to determine the direction the Lord wanted you to go. I think, when I was talking about trying to do some of those projects and the struggles there, I think the Lord wants us when he wants to hear from us. You know, you think He's the busiest of anything. You know, if anybody's busy, God's busy. He don't have time for, He wants to hear the little things. He says, talk to me. Nothing is too little. Right. And that's the important thing for us to remember is there's nothing too small to ask for. It says a family waits for the call of an organ to be donated that will save the life of their loved one. What dilemma do you think that they face? If a family's waiting for a phone call from an organ donor, what dilemma do you think that they face? You know, the thing that I'm thinking of is, for my gain, for my loved one to get that organ, it would mean that someone else lost their loved one. So someone else would have to go through loss. So that, you know, well, and then would I get one in time? That's another.
So it's like two people feeling the same way. You know, you lost, I'm gaining, but I haven't received yet.
Right. Right. But there's just always, you know, for everything, it just seems like it can either be good and good, or it can be good and bad, or it can be bad and bad. It just depends. Number three, have you been on the receiving end of a dilemma? Describe your emotions when an older saint is ready to go to his or her reward while you wish to keep them longer. I think we kind of delved into that. I mean, you know, we're faced with those things, and ultimately, we have to respect their wishes, because someday that may be us. And there's going to always be someone there that doesn't want you to go. But one thing to remember is that we all, sooner or later, we all will go. What was Paul's dilemma in verses 21 through 24? Discuss the pros and cons that weighed on his mind. Well, that's just him talking about either going home or continuing to do the work. For him, it was a win-win situation because he loved the work. He loved Christ more, but it wasn't his will, but God's will. And he was going to stay and do that. And we need to have that same attitude. Do what? That's right. How does wrestling with a dilemma take the joy from our lives? In light of Philippians 4, 6, 7, how can we keep that from happening? Okay, that's, if you hadn't already read it, Philippians 4, 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, that's kind of what we've been talking about. There's nothing too little to pray for. There's nothing too little to put into His hands. He is far greater to be able to handle those things, you know. Sometimes when you wrestle with it, it does take the joy out of it. You know, doing the pros and the cons, the negatives and the positives, you know, just sometimes you just have to say, God, I can't do this alone. I need you to enlighten me. I need you to show. And I'm not saying that He just goes and gives you an answer, but He sometimes shows you the way. He can sometimes make you, as Bill said, you know, He looked at something in a different light after He prayed and He found those keys. You know, sometimes prayer just relaxes me to the point that I can see the tree for the forest, or the forest for the tree, or something. I forget how that goes. But sometimes we're just blinded because we're trying so hard. And sometimes when you just say, God, you take control here, it just relaxes you to where you can see things a little better. In every situation, we must ask the question, what would the Lord want me to do? When issues are right and wrong, the answer is easy. But what about issues that are right and right? How can we discern the direction God wants us to go? Again, I think that's through prayer and just trying to do things. And sometimes, you know, that old gut, that gut feeling can really be very important, that we stick with that and go with it. Right. If you go against what you believe, then you're violating your conscience. Exactly. Let's see. God's answer to Paul's dilemma. Well, we discussed that. He wanted him to stay and continue to do the work. And the challenge that he had to him in verse 27 was, no matter what, whether he was there or not, he wanted them to continue in the work. And that's the challenge for us. We continue to go and to do the work. How does it affect your spiritual morale when you make a God-honoring decision regarding conduct? For example, the decision to dress modestly, only to see brethren claiming Christ, becoming more culture-conscious than God-conscious in their dress. I mean, that's just an example that they use, but it can be in anything. And James pointed out, man is changing a lot of things, and it's starting to creep into the church, and that's where we have to put up that fight. That's where Paul is telling them to conduct themselves in the way of the Lord, not in the way of society or man, because man will not judge us on the day of judgment. God will, and it'll be from this book and not something that man wrote. Number 9, Paul admonished them to be a church united and intent upon one purpose. Sadly, some churches are filled with the cliques and seem to exclude more than include. Others seem to be bent on competition within the ranks. Brethren try to outdo one another. Examples in Corinth. How can we avoid these tendencies while committing to the challenges of unity? Well, for one thing, I think, you know, oftentimes when we get together, it's great if all of us get together. A lot of times, sometimes church members, and I don't mean here, I just mean church members in general, sometimes they'd rather be with their friends of the world than the friends of the church. Well, the friends of the world, that can only lead to bad things for you. Now, I'm not saying we can't have friends in the world. I'm just saying that we should look more to want to be with our brethren than maybe those who are attached to the world. And that's just something that you know, we have to fight through, something that we have to be mindful of. But one thing I think is important is that as a church group, if you want to study together and you want to worship together, you want to take of the Lord's Supper together, you should maybe want to spend a little bit of time outside of this building together, because that all those things are so greatly important that why wouldn't your personal time be just as important to want to spend with your brethren and the people that you know have that same goal in mind. I overshot my time by 5 minutes, but at least we got through that. So anyways, is there any questions? Appreciate your all's attention, and we'll take a short break and continue on.